Okay. That's the cue to start. When you hear that message, that's the cue to start. So good morning, everybody. Welcome to our friends over in Lockhart. And if you're joining us online this morning, let me begin with a few words from Psalm 86, where we're told, among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. So just ponder that for a minute. Among the gods, there is no other God. This is the God that we worship this morning. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. It's wonderful words. And then that's what the psalmist says. He says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me, says the psalmist. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Well, that's the appropriate way to respond to this God who is God. There is no other God, that we might humbly come before him. That's what we're going to see this morning as David prays in response to God's promises to him. So we're going to spend some time reflecting on God's promises this morning. Our first song is Indescribable. If you're on the songbook, we're on page number 13. Just a reminder, if you're in the church, unfortunately, we're still not allowed to sing and we need to wear masks as well. But if you're online, you can sing as loud as you like. Indescribable.
Craig, while we're singing this song, can you please check that your mic's coming through the correct mic?
Yep, I can do that.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees. As we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? The sun and give source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by. Amazing God.
lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and we're just amazed at how great and awesome you are. Father, just to contemplate that you command a lightning bolt to come to the earth, and Father, it flashes exactly where you tell it to go. Father, we think that so often we are so great that we know so much, that we can do so many amazing things. But Father, we know there are so many amazing things that we cannot do because we are not God. And only you alone are Lord and Creator of this universe. Lord, we praise you this morning for all your marvelous deeds that you have done. Lord, that you created this world with its diversity and its richness. Father, as we read in your word, you rescued your people out of Egypt, brought them into the promised land. Father, that again and again in history, you acted to show your power and your might. And then in these last days, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came into this world to die for us and to give us forgiveness and renewal and hope and eternal life. Heavenly Father, we do pray that our hearts may indeed be filled with praise and thanks for all that you have done for us, for your great love that you display towards us, for your faithfulness even when we as your people remain unfaithful, that you forgive us for all of our sins. Heavenly Father, we do come again this morning seeking your forgiveness, seeking your forgiveness for the things that we have done wrong against you. Lord, we pray that you might indeed search our hearts and our minds and draw to our attention the things that are displeasing to you. And we pray, Lord, that you give us the courage and the grace to change through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might become more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, like the psalmist, that you would indeed give us an undivided heart and that each day we might live in fear of you for who you are and what you have done for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your Bible there, you might like to open up to Colossians chapter 1, 1 to 14. The page numbers are there on the screen. Colossians 1, 1 to 14. It's a wonderful prayer. And Florence is going to read that for us this morning. Thanks, Florence.
Colossians chapter 1 and reading from verse 1 to verse 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Indeed. Amen, indeed. All right, a few announcements for this week. Just a reminder, we're up to with restrictions. So currently as we are, and then there's the 1st of December and the 90% double dose. It's probably likely 90% will get there before the 1st of December. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we'll keep you updated as we do. The tree is still there. It's supposed to come this week, but didn't for various reasons. So we'll try again next week. Men's Bible study, we're still in Jeremiah, 7:30 on Thursday. It's a great time together. You just need to log online at 7:30 and we get into it. So that's for the men. And Greenhouse on Friday, we're going to have another go this week. Didn't get too many takers last week, but we'll have a go on Friday at 6:30. Okay, that's the announcements. Come on down, James Lawson. Okay, now James, did last night before you went to bed, did you pray to God? Okay, what did you pray for? You forgot? Ah, oh, okay. Better ask your dad. So, well, what do you think we can pray for, James? What are some good things that we can pray for? Okay, I'll give you some ideas. Okay, here's some things that we can pray for. Next first one. Pray for rain. That's a good thing to pray for. What about this one? That I get good grades on my exams at school, that I do good at my school. Is that a good thing to pray for? Don't really do those? Okay. All right. What about this one? Pray for our families and our friends. That's always a good thing to pray for. What about this one? That God would give us what we need, something to eat, something to drink. God will provide. Like, these are really good things that we should pray for. Next one. Okay, big thumbs up. They're good things that we should pray for. But the question we're asking this morning is there something better that we can actually pray for? We pray for these things, but is there actually something better we should be really, really praying about? And Jesus told his disciples how to pray. In Matthew 6, he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what Jesus told us to pray, didn't he? Now, what does that mean, James? So let's think about this for a minute. Next one. So when we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," what are we praying for? We're praying that God's goodness and God's greatness would be known. That's what we're actually praying for, that God would be made great, that his name would be made great throughout the world. That's what we're doing when we're praying that little bit. Next one. And when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, what we're asking God to do is not what we want, but what God wants. That we would get rid of our ways and that God would do his way and his will, and that God's plans would be fulfilled, because God is smarter than us, right? God's ways are better than our way. He's much stronger. He's much wiser. He's much greater. And so when we pray, we should be praying that God's will would be done. That's how Jesus wanted us to pray, okay? Next slide. So what we're going to do, James, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. All of us are going to pray the Lord's Prayer together to be reminded of how God wants us to pray. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So, James, when you go home tonight and you pray, remember, the most important thing to pray for is that God would be great and his name known, and that God's will and God's plans would succeed. You think you can remember that? Excellent. All right, you're going to go out to your activities. Our jam people are going to go out as well. We'll see you at morning tea time. Let me just read a couple of verses from Psalm 89, where the psalmist says, "The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? O Lord God Almighty, who is like you?" This psalm has really become sort of a sponsor for our series on 1 Chronicles. We've done it a few times. It's a great psalm. It's rich in theology. They've done a really good job of doing it. So if you want to follow along in Psalm 89, you can follow in your Bibles, or you can just meditate on the words. Unfortunately, it's not in the songbook, but we're going to give it a go. So Psalm 89.
Forever, Lord, I'll sing your love, your faithfulness make known. All generations shall be told your King is on the throne. Your covenant with David stands forever as your own. All praise from the angels on high. Wonderful God, for who can compare with the Lord? You rule the surging ocean tides and calm the crashing waves. You crush the dragons of the deep and sent them to their graves. So heaven and earth, which you have made, shall bless the God who saves. And praise from the north and the south, mountain and hill, your hand and your arm have prevailed. As righteousness and justice are foundations for your reign, as faithfulness and love march on and shall with you remain. So none who learn to walk with you will ever trust in vain. So praise be to God from his saints, people and prince, for you are their glory and strength. In visions once you spoke to us, my gift of strength I bring. My servant David I have found, anointed him as king. My hand will give him victory, my praises he will sing. Loud praise from the ends of the earth, enemies fall and rebels will perish and die. His hand I set above the sea, the he shall guide. He calls me Father God, my rock. I called him to my side, appointing him as my firstborn, supremely glorified. I praise for the promise of God, covenant love, eternally true and secure. And if his sons forsake my law, despising my decrees, then I shall use my rod of power to bring them to their knees. Yet never shall I change my mind or break my guarantees. We praise for the throne that endures longer than time, more firm than the moon or the sun. The Lord, on your anointed one, come down. The covenant is set aside and fallen is the crown. His wars are lost, his walls destroyed, and gone is his renown. Our praise has been turned into shame, glory to grief. The days of his splendor are past. How long, O Lord, is it forever you have turned away? How brief and empty are our lives that blossom for a day. Remember, Lord, your promised love for David's sake, we pray. Then praise be to God for his grace, keeping his word forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise be to God for his grace, keeping his word forever and ever. Amen.
Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that, Lord, it does encourage us, that it speaks to us, and that it gives us hope. And Lord, as we live in this really chaotic world at the moment, a world that is crying out for truth, a world that is crying out for justice and righteousness, Father, a world in which we are but a mere breath, that, Father, our lives are so short compared to eternity. Father, we thank you that despite all of that, that you still sit as King of the universe. That, Lord, you have not abandoned your world, but, Father, that you have stepped into this world to show the world that there is a better way, that there is truth, that there is justice. Heavenly Father, we pray that in the midst of the chaos and spinningness of this world, that you might help us as your people to cling to your promises, those promises which you made to King David all those many years ago, those promises which you fulfilled in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly obeyed everything that you asked of him. And Father, we pray this morning too for the glory of your name and for your renown, that, Lord, you would act again in history, that you would act again in our time. And Father, people would see that they are not in control of this world, that they are not the kings of the universe, but that, Father, that rightfully belongs to you and to you alone. Heavenly Father, we pray at this time for a real strengthening of your church, that the gospel may go forward in great power, that your people might have great boldness as your word is proclaimed and taught throughout our land and throughout the nations. We pray that there would be an awakening and that people would see that there is a better way, that there is a hope, that there is a future. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for those who have been impacted by this dreadful virus that is circulating in our world. Father, we know that people have lost loved ones, people dear to them. People have been sick because of the virus. People have lost their jobs. Families have been divided. Families have been separated. Father, it is a mere reflection of this broken world in which we live. But Lord, we thank you that we can still have hope. Hope in your Son, hope of something better, greater, and more wonderful in the New Jerusalem. But Lord, we need help in our world this day. And so we pray that you might look upon us again and be gracious towards us. Please give wisdom to your people, to know how to live rightly, how to navigate the many issues that are before them correctly, that you might be brought immense glory. Father, we pray this morning for those who are struggling, who are weak in the faith, who need strengthening. We pray that you might uphold them. Father, for those who need encouragement, that they might find your word, a place where they can go, and that they might be encouraged. Father, for anyone who is doubting or lacks wisdom, your word tells us that if we come to you, you graciously give. And so we ask and pray for your wisdom as we live out our lives each day before you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you give us. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for our church family, for our friends and our family, that you do indeed give us our daily bread. Please help us to stand against temptation, that we might stand firm in you. Father, we look to you. We ask that you might help us. For the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. This morning, we're continuing our series on 1 Chronicles, and we're up to chapter 17, verses 16 to 27. That's a prayer of David. The page numbers are on the screen, and Florence is going to read that for us as well. 1 Chronicles 17, 16 to 27. Thanks, Florence.
Verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men, O Lord God. What more can David say to you for honouring your servant? For you know your servant, O Lord. For the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. There is no one like you, O Lord, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem a people for himself and to make a name for yourself, and to perform great and awesome wonders and God went out to redeem a people for himself and to make a name for yourself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. You made your people Israel your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised, so that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, 'The Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God,' and the house of your servant David will be established before you. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. O Lord, you are God. You have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever."
Thanks, Florence, for reading that for us. Let me pray for us. Father, we stand before you with your word open, and we pray that you might speak very powerfully into our lives this morning. For the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. Now, during the lunch hour, the president of a large factory wanted to talk to his company's manager about an urgent matter. But the manager's secretary said he cannot be disturbed, for he is in conference. as he is every day at this time. But, said the impatient official, tell him the president wants to see him. The secretary replied firmly, I have strict orders, sir, not to disturb him while he is in conference. Angrily, the man brushed aside the secretary and he opened the door to the manager's private office. And one quick look, he was back out the door after gently closing the door. And he said, I'm sorry, is this a daily conference? Yes, every day he spends 15 minutes in such conferences. The president had walked in to find the manager on his knees and his Bible open in front of him. The manager had come to see the importance of prayer, that he needed to humble himself, not just by getting on your knees, mind you, before the God of the universe, but seeking his will in prayer. And as a bonus, the president got to see a strong and important message as well. But if only we're all like that. All of us struggle in our prayer life at some point in time, whether that be just even finding a time to pray, or struggling with what to pray, or feeling that our times of prayer, they're like eating a dry Weet-Bix. We all face this struggle in this area. And when that comes along, our passage this morning, very famous prayer in the Bible, is actually going to help us out. And as we saw last week in the first half of 1 Chronicles, God makes these amazing promises to David. David had this idea to build God a house, and God turned that upside down and declared that he would give David something far greater. This is what God says. He says, I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over, when you go to be with your fathers, I'll raise up offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. God says, I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will send him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. Well, how do you respond to something like that? How do you respond to someone giving you something grand that you could never earn or deserve? Well, thankfully, we have David's response recorded for us in this passage. We have David's prayer of response to God. Now, the first thing we should say is that David's response was to pray. Now, to many of us, that probably sounds unsurprising. After all, that should be the Christian's response to what God's done for us. However, too many of us are the first to go to God in prayer when something is wrong and the last to go to God when things are going rosy. The Christian's first response to anything God does should be to pray. There also seems to be a broader point, I think, that the writer of Chronicles is making. Now, in his account, the chronicler actually records several prayers offered by Israelites' kings. Prayers by kings such as Solomon and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah. Now, these prayers would be recorded for all time, and they would be told again and again and again as part of Israel's history. They would become well-known prayers. But the chronicle also records them to remind his readers of the need to go back into conversation with God through prayer. So this morning, I just want to briefly look at this prayer under three headings. The sermon this morning is brought to you by the letter H. 3 points, starting with H. There they are: humility, honouring, and honour. Humility, honouring, and honour. And we're going to look at each of those in turn. So we can see that David humbly prays before God in verses 16 to 18. Let's start in verse 16. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? How do you know if someone has come to perceive the glory and the majesty of God? Well, they think very little of themselves. I mean, the scriptures are full of examples. Isaiah, woe is me, he says. I'm a man of unclean lips. Abraham, when he was bargaining with the Lord to save Sodom, said of himself he was but ashes and dust. And now here, David, who am I? When you stand before God, do you come to that same conclusion? Who am I? It wasn't just David, was it? He also speaks of his family. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me thus far? David's been on this incredible journey, hasn't he? He was plucked as this young shepherd boy. And he's anointed to be the future king of Israel. He was then on the run from Saul for many years. David must have wondered if he was ever going to become king. He contended with danger. He had to escape. There was treachery and slander. But now here he was, king of Israel, yet he knows that before God, he is so small. Goes on in verse 17, as if there were not enough in your sight, O God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men, O Lord God. What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant, O Lord. God knows what David's like. God knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. He knows that David's a sinner. He makes mistakes. And yet, according to David, he is treated as the most exalted as men and honored by God. It's no wonder David says, what more can I say? Indeed, that's what we should be saying too, isn't it? God knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our sins. And look at the way he treats us by his grace. I mean, think about the prodigal son for a minute. He stuffed up his life so badly, and when he returned, the father treated him as royalty. What more can we say to God other than we are humbled by what you have done for us in Christ? And just when we're tempted to talk ourselves up, to think they're actually better than we actually are, maybe we should remember the words of 1 Peter. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So David starts in his prayer with humility, and then he moves to honoring God. That's our second H for this morning, honoring. Look at verse 19. David prays, O Lord, for your sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. There is no one like you, O Lord, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. O Lord, there is none like you. What a wonderful prayer that is. O Lord, there is none like you. In fact, most of the great prayers of the Bible say something really similar. After crossing the Red Sea, Moses prayed, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? The prophet Jeremiah prayed, no one is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not revere you, O King of the nations? This is your due, Jeremiah prays. Among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there's none like you, he prays. When we sit down to pray to God, we're actually doing something truly wonderful, because it's completely different to praying to Muhammad or Buddha or any other type of God for that matter. They're not great. Only God is. Now, in case you need convincing that God is great, let me give you some reasons. Verse 21, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem a people for himself and to make a name for yourself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out the nations from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. You made your people Israel your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now, time and time again in the Old Testament, particularly in the Psalms, the people of God, they look back to this famous event of the Exodus, where God rescued his people out of Egypt and took them across the Red Sea and defeated Pharaoh's army once and for all. And then God appeared in fire and lightning on Mount Sinai, and he made a covenant with his people. God promised to be their God, and they would be his people, that they would be his treasured possession. Now, that's a key line of biblical theology. It runs right the way through the entire Bible, and it ends with believers going to be with the Lord in the New Jerusalem. David states that God chose a people for himself so that his name might be known on the earth. God rescued his people so that his name would be held up in lights over all the other nations. And we too stand as God's people, not so we might create a name for ourselves, like the people at the Tower of Babel, but because we want to lift high the name of our King and Savior, the Lord Jesus, given what he's done for us. So when we come to prayer, we need to start humbly before God. We need to start with prayers that lift high the name of God, that we would give him the praise that is due his name. But then we should be praying that God would honor what he has already promised, which is our third H, honor. Look at verse 23. "And now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and this house be established forever. Do as you have promised," says, praise David, "so that it may be established and that your name will be great forever. And then men will say, 'The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, Israel's God, and the house of your servant David will be established before you.'" Now, our prayers are so often dominated by petition. We want God to do things, and sometimes they are good things. We want to see people get healed and helped. We want God to protect our freedoms that we have. They're good things to pray for. But are they what God wants? How do we pray the will of God? Well, the starting point is to pray what God's already revealed to us through his word. And therefore, we should be praying the promises that God has spoken in his word. Asking the Lord to do what he has already promised is exactly how we should be praying. Asking God to honor his word. When God promises something, he always delivers it. And if he didn't, he would cease to be God. And that's why we pray that God would honor what he has already promised. And when we do that, it gives us confidence. It gives us boldness to pray as David did. We see David praying for the glory of God. He says that men will say, "The Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God." Now, if you think about it, that's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It would not be right for us to humble ourselves before God and then pray that we might be honored before God. That doesn't make any sense. The combination of praying God's promises and asking he would honor them, combined with God praying that God would glorify his name, all that means is we can pray boldly by faith and have confidence that our prayers will rise to God and he will hear them and delight in them. That's how David found courage to pray, as he says in verse 25. And it's how we find confidence when we come before God to pray. Now you might say, "Well, that's okay for David, but I'm not David. And I struggle to have that same confidence that he had in this area. You know, if I pray for more than 2 minutes a day, I might actually be doing well. I have too many non-answered prayers. How am I ever going to pray a prayer like David? How can I ever end up with a prayer life like that?" Well, let me offer you two helpful suggestions to help you this morning. The first thing is to think about what is driving David here. He's just been made these wonderful promises by God, and they have filled his heart with joy. David's prayer is an expression of that joy that he felt about being given these wonderful promises by God. So if you're struggling, then you need to go back and you need to find the joy of knowing the Lord God and what he has done for you and his son, the Lord Jesus. Because if we begin to understand and delight in the one whom these promises given to David find their fulfillment, that will help you to focus your prayers like David. Being reminded that in Christ, you have all your sins forgiven. Being prompted of your eternal destiny, which awaits you. And recalling of all that Christ has done will help you to move into this joyful space of prayer that David exhibited. The second thing I would say to you is the way to improve your prayer life is simply to pray. Just a little bit each day, regular times will help you. You need to stick at it. And the more you pray, the better you get at it and the more rewarding it becomes. Now, if you want to lose weight, you just have to be disciplined in terms of what you eat and your exercise, and slowly but surely things begin to change. And prayer is very similar. So stick at it. Take the opportunities to pray as they come along, such as our regular prayer meetings. Write down your prayers So you can see how God's been at work. Find what works for you. Now, as I said earlier, the chronicler does have this habit of recording great prayers in his account. And this is a great prayer. But as with all of God's word, we actually need to apply it. And that's the challenge, isn't it? So this morning, let me ask you, what do you need to adjust? What do you need to change in your prayer life to reflect this great prayer of David? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the marvelous thing it is to be able to come before you and to pray to the God of the universe. And not only to pray, but Father, to have you hear our prayers. And Father, we want to be able to pray more like your servant David. Help us to think about our prayer life, to think about what we are praying for and how we might be able to change that so that our prayer life might be rich and dynamic, but that also that through our prayers we might see you honoured and glorified and given the glory that is due your name. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably unsurprising that our hymn for today is that wonderful old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. From the songbook, it's on page 35. You might like to make this your prayer as well. Can heavy laden. Psalmist says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength. And by your favor, you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Amen. We'll be back next week. If you're in the Henty building, we have some morning tea, and there's a box at the back where you can make a contribution to the work of the Lord. Go forth in the name of the Lord. Amen.